Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Are we allowing our children too much screen time? Health authorities in Sweden have issued guidelines which say that we are. Teenagers from 13 to 18 years of age should have just 3 hours of screen time a day. Between 6 years of age and 12, it should be no more than 2 hours. And from age 2 to age 5, it should be limited to a maximum of an hour a day. And children under the age of 2 should not be exposed to any screens whatsoever. Like to hear from you on this one. And it's certainly something that is coming up time and time again in my house. Now we have a teenager, and a 10-year-old. So it's definitely an issue with both. But I find as you move into the teens and you're trying to give over that little bit more independence while still obviously parenting, it can become an even bigger challenge, particularly now with smartphones and them using that to connect with their friends, you know, to get to and from school, all of those things. And this is never a judgment piece, I don't think. And I think it's important to say that from the outset, no one is suggesting that parents aren't just doing their best, myself included. But the research keeps coming back time and time again that mobile phone and screen use seriously impacts on the development of our young people and the mental health of our young people. And I was at an event recently with Dr. Richard Hogan. He's very big in this area and a parenting expert. And something he said really resonated with me as a parent. He said, we're not their friends, we're their parents. And yes, we want to get on with them. And yes, we are parenting in a very different way to the fear-based, authoritative way that we were perhaps parented. But at the same time, they need and want us to give them boundaries and they need our help when it comes to the screen. So how are you managing it in your house and what do you think of these guidelines from Sweden? Let's go to the phones. Cheryl joins me on the line from Wicklow. Cheryl, how do you feel about what Sweden are saying?
Hi, I'm a GP and a parent of 3 girls. And I suppose I've seen over the years the damaging effects of smartphones on young people's well-being and mental health, like through my work. So I suppose I personally feel it's not possible to be too strict on it, that trying to get it right from a young age and putting boundaries and guidelines in place within your own home is very beneficial for your children. I know there's obviously barriers and obstacles to that, and it can be very difficult.
But obviously, you're not going to share specific cases, but can you give us an idea of what you're seeing in practice?
Well, I suppose like maybe about 5 years ago, I started to see a trend where like adolescents mainly, you know, who are really struggling with their mental health and maybe were at the point of not attending school and were kind of sleep deprived, feeling low, not their usual selves, that I started asking them about screen time just as one element, you know, that impacts your mental health, you know, alongside exercise, sleep, diet, all the other things that we know are good for well-being. And really, without exception, the young people that were struggling, like in my work, had excessive screen time. You know, they were kind of averaging 8 to 10 hours a day on their smartphones. And this is having a real impact in lots of different ways and on their well-being.
And that's a huge amount out of the day, isn't it? And I'm like, we all get sucked in at times and time can really fly by. But as you say, when it begins to impact on your behaviour, it's something I certainly witness myself in my own house that, you know, there can be stress levels increase, that there can be issues with motivation to sit and have a family meal, to go to training, to go to a match, because there's always this entertainment source sitting in a smartphone. So does it really come down, without blame or judgment, to the parents to set these boundaries and step in? Because obviously we all want the best for our kids.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, your child spends, you know, the majority of their time in their home and with family. So, you know, you can rely on schools, put in some guidelines and boundaries, and, you know, they can attend therapists or doctors or mental health experts if they run into trouble. But really, you're in the best position to try and minimise the damage from excessive screen time. And I suppose you have to think of it as well that the more time on the screen is less time doing other things that are good for you, you know, pursuing hobbies and interests, you know, getting adequate sleep, spending time with family and friends. You know, for the younger child, you know, play is such an important part of social and psychological development. And the more time on the screen, the less active they are and the less they're playing and doing things that are good for their mental health.
How do you manage it with your three girls, Cheryl?
Well, I suppose I had a slight advantage in that I could see the cases that were coming into me and how, you know, excessive screen use was having such a detrimental effect that I kind of had a heads up before my children were old enough to get phones. So I suppose my eldest daughter, she was the last person in her class to get a smartphone. She got it at the end of sixth class. And from the very beginning, she kind of knew it was going to be very boundaried, you know. She's not allowed her phone in her bedroom. We have some time limits on all the apps she has, but we've also endeavoured to limit the apps that she has because some of them are more addictive than others. You know, like the likes of TikTok, you're getting a dopamine hit. It's very stimulating. It makes you feel good about yourself. And there's a risk that if you're getting that instant gratification and that feel-good factor from the dopamine hit, that your ability to enjoy other things lessons.
Yeah, which is so really, really sad for kids. Cheryl, thank you. You've shared so many brilliant insights from not only your parenting side, but also as a GP. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. And based even on what Cheryl said there about TikTok, don't forget that last week there was an ex-TikTok employee here who was explaining that based on his research, young boys are being shown more extreme misogynistic and violent material by the algorithm than girls. So, you know, it may look like it's just silly recipes and silly trends and, you know, funny videos. But what they're watching is dangerous, not only from a content point of view, but what it's doing to their brain. Love to hear from you. Again, this is without judgment. If you are struggling with it, do let us know. Robert is on the line in Roscommon. Robert, you think this advice coming from Sweden is misguided?
I think I'd probably start off with saying I agree with most of what the previous caller was saying. In terms of the guidance from Sweden, I think it's just very simplistic and it's very blanket advice. So saying that small children shouldn't have any screen time whatsoever, I think these things are tools. So I don't think it matters so much how much time the child has and more what the child's doing with it. So if parents just handing the child the device and letting them watch whatever content the child wants to watch, then yeah, I think that probably is likely to lead to bad outcomes. I think that's true of any age range. But I think if you're sitting with a small child and you're reading them a book that's on the screen, or you're going through their 1, 2, 3s or ABCs, teaching them math or teaching them English, I don't think there's any harm in that. I don't think using that device as a tool for learning, for engaging, is a bad thing. I think then when you get to the older children, I think it's really where I think I find the advice very difficult. The idea that up to 18-year-olds should only have 3 hours. I don't know where Sweden expects to get its future digital leaders from if they're only going to have 18-year-olds with 3 hours of time on a computer. I'd suggest it's going to take a lot more than that to learn how to program, to learn how to create the next generation of AI. And we need, you know, I work in that industry. We need bright young people to come along and make the world a better place with this technology. I do, however, I think it's worth balancing and saying, so with my own children, they do have devices. I checked before coming on to see what their average sort of time usage was, because we have the data. We don't monitor all the time, but we certainly it's there. They're averaging less than an hour a day. We do put limits on at night, so the device is automatically shut off. So to make sure exactly what the doctor was saying, make sure the kids get sleep. I think it's super important. There's loads of research to say that children need to get the right amount of sleep before school, and it's very important for them. So we do that. We curate. So like your doctor was saying, we curate the apps that the children have access to.
Yeah. And so you are living apps, and breathing this. So I hear what you're saying, Robert.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's, we always need guidelines, but maybe take it with a pinch of common sense. Well, thank you for coming on. And it always elicits fear, I feel anyway, when you hear the likes of Steve Jobs or Bill Gates do not under any circumstances hand technology to their own children. That strikes you with fear. So Robert, working in the industry and giving it to his kids with guidelines, makes me feel a little better. Natanya joins me on the line now. Natanya, you're the chairperson of the Parents Council in Kildare Town Educate Together. You're very welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us what you're launching today.
So today is the first day of our voluntary smartphone tax information going out to 15 schools in South Kildare. And on the 18th of September at 7:30 in the CY Hall in Kildare Town, we're actually having a launch event with a child psychologist, a Garda spokesperson, and we'll be there to answer questions to the parents about how voluntary smartphone packs run, how they work, and why we're doing this, why the schools are all coming together to roll this out.
And why are you making it voluntary as opposed to compulsory?
So again, I think that it's what you've touched on already. It's that if we start making judgment calls and making it mandatory and insisting that everybody adhere to the rule, it's likely to elicit, I think, a bit of a negative response from people, parents and children. If we try to support and educate the parents and children in schools about why smartphone, personal smartphone device or personal smart device usage with absolutely no supervision, no parental guidelines and guardrails in place can be really dangerous for children. And I think sometimes people have a habit of, you know, you get into the habit yourself. I'm a mother of two. And when your kids are young and dinner time is happening and everybody's pulling out of you, you can have a habit of going, yeah, I'm just here, watch this YouTube video of somebody building something in Minecraft for a couple of minutes while I just get the dinner finished. And you don't realize how quickly that can devolve into the algorithm serving them something negative or scary or traumatizing. And as you said already, the TikTok employee who was on before saying that young boys are being presented with violent and misogynist material, what parents see on their own personal TikTok or Facebook or YouTube is not what children are presented with. The algorithm very carefully curates what you see. So I'm going to see lovely recipes and happy, nice things, people doing up the interior of their home. That's not what children are getting served. And yeah, that's the problem, is that lack of control. Like, we wouldn't send our children out onto the streets in the middle of the night. You have rules and guidelines in place. You know, you make sure that they're at home and in their beds, but before 10 at the very latest. You know what I mean? You don't leave around when it's dark. So if you wouldn't let your child walk down the main street, like any of the main streets of Dublin after dark, then you should certainly not be handing them a personal smartphone device under the age of 12 with absolutely no controls in place. And I would argue over the age of 12 up to 18, 100% they should have controls in place. My own children understand. I have a child that's in fourth class. She has access to a family iPad. She knows 100% that I'm checking what she's doing on a daily basis. She uses it for things like Duolingo, but she doesn't have access to any social media. She doesn't have access to any of these things because she doesn't need them. Yeah. This is not a thing that she needs in her life. But I understand the use case of technology has a place. We do, like your last caller said, we do want to create positive tech interactions for children, but unfettered access is dangerous for anybody.
Yeah, well, look, thanks for coming on, Natanya. Natanya there, Chairperson of the Parents Council in Kildare Town Educate Together. And, you know, obviously we were talking recently as well about all the secondary schools looking at potentially bringing in a mobile phone ban during school time. I know it certainly happened in my son's school today that the phones will be taken away and given back at the end of the school day. And pester power can be huge here. And I know that shouldn't influence your parenting, but like as Cheryl said, her 11-year-old was the last person in the class to get the mobile phone. You know, sometimes your kid's the only one who's not on social media. So in many ways, it can make it easier when the schools step in, and then you know that when they're in school that there are no phones. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Enda in Mayo has texted in, says, look, this is only anecdotal, but my wife and I have noticed the type of screen affects our child's behaviour. We have removed access to singular screens from our daughter who's 5. We notice that if she's watching TV, she will start playing with other toys and doesn't really mind when the TV is turned off. However, if we give her an iPad or a phone, she becomes affected by it. Her mood changes, she becomes narky for hours after and will throw a tantrum when we try to take it away. And parents up and down the country, Enda, will be able to know exactly what you're talking about, or indeed guardians. And I think there's so much that we don't know yet about the impact of these devices on our kids. I'm joined on the line now by health scientist and sleep expert Tom Coleman. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Good to have you on. What do you think about these guidelines when it comes to kids and phone use and device use and the impact that it'll have on their sleep and health?
Yeah, I mean, we can't get them in quick enough. We can't get that blanket ban on smartphones in schools quick enough. That is my opinion, and that is based on what I'm seeing in research. If we look at different bodies of research, I mean, screen time has been shown to be associated with lower mental well-being, less curiosity, lower self-control, increased distractibility, and more difficulty making friends. And I could go on and on and on and cite research after research. This is from San Diego, 40,000 people. There's any amount of data there, and it's not good news for our children. So we are the gatekeepers. There's enough evidence now out there for us to start to put things in place that protect our children. And I'm a parent, my 5-year-old, he will seek out the phone. It's highly addictive. And it's like having an endless supply of crack cocaine there. It's the same chemical pathway in the brain. So it's highly, highly addictive. And it falls down to us parents and hopefully the support of the government through legislation that will protect our children.
Yeah. And Tom, I presume you suggest that nobody have a phone in their room at night, particularly kids.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a couple of different things there. Like your previous caller, one of them said, it's the activity on it that's very alerting. The light activates. Obviously, it deactivates melatonin production. So it tells the brain it's the middle of the day if you're on a phone at night when you should be sleeping. But, I mean, most of that light can be cut out through filters. Even so, it's the activity on it. If we're scrolling, that's incredibly different to the brain as if we're than reading. So if we're reading, it's a different passive part of the brain that's being kind of entertained. Whereas scrolling is very stimulating.
Yeah.
And nobody feels good after 2 hours of scrolling. So it is, to a large degree, the activity. But obviously, I would like a disconnect from devices, 1 to 2 hours prior to bed.
Tom Coleman, health scientist and sleep expert, thanks for coming on. And I was at the book launch of Fiona Brennan. Her book is all around sleep. And she had an interesting piece about devices where she said, look, you have a knife in your kitchen and it's for cutting bread and cutting food. And yet it could also be a weapon. So sometimes you can bring a phone into your room and it can be used to wind yourself down with slow music or listen to a meditation. And I think that's very true and a really good point, particularly as an adult. But I don't think kids have that. So I think they need us to bring in these boundaries. So are you going to bring them into your home and how do you manage it currently? Andrea is on the line in Galway. Andrea, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Andrea, I thought it was important to squeeze you in because you're an optometrist and you're concerned when you see so many people on screens. Why?
I'm qualified 30 years and I've seen a massive explosion of myopia, which is for your reduced vision in the distance in the last 10 or 15 years because of screen time. By 2050, half the world's population, that's 4 billion people, they're going to be short-sighted. Short-sightedness is myopia. What is myopia? It's where your eyeball is growing and stretching and growing much faster than it should, and it's becoming unhealthy. A myopic eye is much more at risk of developing retinal detachments, maculopathy, loss of vision, cataracts, etc. And we are seeing children as young as 5 and 6 becoming short-sighted, where they're needing to put glasses on to see in the distance. So I'm coming from this from an eye health point of view. While I understand it's got other issues, mental, social, etc., it's actually causing unhealthy eyeballs.
And, you know, this happened to me. My daughter was recently diagnosed with that and wears glasses now. And, you know, you're never going to know was it caused by screens. But certainly, you know, she had 2 years of homeschooling with school coming through on the iPad. I mean, this is happening.
We saw a massive increase in myopia from lockdown. And people were coming into me every 6 months and I was having to change their glasses. Now, the good news is that there's glasses out there, lenses and contact lenses that can slow down this dramatic growth rate by about 60 to 70%. they've developed these in the last few years because of the explosion of myopia.
Yeah, but we do need to discuss this and think about this when it comes to the screens. Andrea, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for coming on, and do continue bringing your thoughts into us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.